Shahryar sat at the edge of her command chair, mesmerized by the contents of the bridge's holotank. The representation of the alien system was now much more detailed. Planets and asteroids, even an inbound comet, were all represented, details previously missing from Minor Transgressions database. The planet from which the alien ship began its journey shone in the very center of the tank, but it was the thousands of cyan glyphs dotting the planet's surface, all with the same circular design, that transfixed her. Suddenly, the glyphs and everything inside the tank flickered as it temporarily lost power. "Careful!" the shipmistress hissed, twisting toward Jar. The male Kigyar stood near an alcove in the bridge's concave purple walls, a laser cutter in one of his clawed hands.
"I want it disconnected, not destroyed."
"Yes, mistress."
Jar's spines flattened subserviently on his head. Then he gingerly reapplied his cutter to a twist of circuits connected to a device with three pyramidal parts suspended in the center of the alcove. The largest of the pyramids was arranged point down, the two smaller ones pointed up, supporting the largest on either side. All three shone with a silver glow that framed Jar against the alcove. This was the ship's luminary, an arcane device required on all Covenant vessels. It had assigned thousands of glyphs or luminations to the alien world, each one a possible forerunner relic. Shahryar's tongue flicked against her teeth with barely contained excitement. If only Minor Transgression had a bigger hold. The shipmistress came from a long line of matriarchal ship captains, and while most of her bloodline had been decimated in defense of asteroid redoubts during the Covenant's aggressive conversion of her species into its faith, she still felt her ancestors' buccaneering spirit pulsing through her veins. Kigyar had always been pirates. Long before the Covenant arrived, they sailed the tropical archipelagos of their watery homeworld, raiding competing clans for food and mates. As their populations grew, the distances and differences between clans decreased. A new cooperative spirit led to the creation of spacecraft that lifted them from their planet. But as some clans looked out on the dark and endless sea of space, they could not resist returning to their old, marauding ways. In the end, these pirates were the species' only effective resistance to the Covenant, but they could not hold out forever. To save themselves, the captains were forced to accept letters of marque, agreements that let them keep their ships, so long as they sailed in the service of a Covenant ministry. Some Kigyar saw opportunity in this subservience. Shahryar saw eons of table scraps, endless patrols looking for relics, unimaginably valuable treasures she would never be allowed to claim as her own. Yes, during her voyages, she might stumble across some small amount of salvage, a derelict Covenant habitat, or a damaged alien freighter. But these were comparatively meager alms, and Shahryar was no beggar. At least, not anymore, she thought. The shipmistress knew she could remove a small number of relics without anyone noticing, but only if her ship's luminary remained silent, and she waited to transmit its accounting until after she had taken her share. Shahryar felt the calloused plates on her neck and shoulders contract. This thick skin served as natural armor, keeping females of her species safe during the literal backbiting that accompanied most Kigyar mating sessions. The shipmistress wasn't normally very broody, but when she sold the relics on the Covenant black market, she hoped to earn enough profit to take Minor Transgression out of service for an entire mating season. And that possibility was deeply arousing. She relaxed in her chair and stared at Jar, watched his sinewy muscles ripple beneath his scales, as he carefully severed the luminary's connections to her ship's signal circuits. He wasn't her ideal mate. She would have preferred someone with higher standing amongst the clans, but she had always been partial to males with virile plumage, and Jar had another advantage. He was close at hand. With all the blood rushing to her shoulders, Shahryar began to feel deliciously faint. But then the bridge door cycled open, and Dadab trotted through. The Ungoy's tunic reeked of engine coolant and gassy huragok, and the stink immediately killed her libido.
Shipmistress?
Dadaab performed a curt bow, then looked suspiciously at Jar.
What do you see?
Churiar snapped, redirecting the Ungoy's gaze toward the hollow tank.
A system. Single star, five planets?
Dadaab took a step toward the tank.
One of the planets seems to have...
His voice squeaked off, and he drew a series of rapid breaths. Churiar clucked her tongue.
A luminary does not lie.
Usually she quoted holy writs only to mock them, but this time Churiar was serious. Every luminary was modeled after a device the prophets had located aboard an ancient forerunner warship, one that now stood at the center of the Covenant capital, High Charity. Luminaries were sacred objects, and tampering with them was punishable by death, or worse. Which was why the shipmistress knew the deacon was so distressed by Jar's actions. As her chosen mate continued to flash his laser all around the luminary, the deacon shifted his weight from one of his conical, flat-bottomed feet to the other. Churiar could hear the valves inside his mask clicking as he tried to get his breathing under control.
I must report these luminations at once,
Dadaab gasped.
No,
the shipmistress snapped.
You will not.
Jar severed a final circuit, and the luminary dimmed.
Heresy,
Dadaab wailed before he could stay his tongue. Jar clattered his toothy jaws and stepped toward the deacon, laser cutter blazing, but Churiar stopped the overprotective male with a rattling hiss. Under different circumstances, she might have let him tear the Ungoy apart for his foolish insult, but for now, she needed him alive.
Calm yourself, she said. The luminary is not damaged, it simply cannot speak. But the ministry, Dadaab stammered, it will demand an explanation.
And it shall have one, after I take my pick of plunder.
The shipmistress uncurled a claw toward the hollow tank. There was a single glyph not located on the alien planet. To the untrained eye, it might have looked like some sort of display error, a misplaced piece of data. But Churiar's pirate gaze recognized it for what it was, a relic aboard another of the alien freighters, one she hoped would be as easy to capture as the first. The deacon was shivering now, his whole blue-gray body quaking with terror. The shipmistress knew the Ungoy was right. What she planned to do was heresy. Only the prophets were allowed access to relics, and if tampering with a luminary meant death, defying the prophets meant damnation. Then suddenly the deacon calmed, eyes darting between the glyphs in the hollow tank and the bright red tip of Jar's laser cutter, his breathing slowed. Churiar knew the Ungoy was smarter than most, and guessed he had just realized the full extent of his predicament. The shipmistress had told him her secret plans, and yet he lived. Which could only mean one thing. She had a plan for him.
What would my shipmistress have me do?
Dadaab asked. Churiar's teeth glittered in the luminary's weakened light.
I need you to lie.
The deacon nodded, and the shipmistress set course for the relic-laden ship.